ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 17, The Divisions of Faith, Text Number 3. That's on page 771, if you have this version. Otherwise, it's Text 3, Chapter 17. Please repeat. I'm 771. I'm sorry, I don't speak Russian. 771.
I'm sorry, I don't understand English.
Well, this is a good way to learn English.
Chapter 17?
Yes, text 3. What you can also do next time is you can bring a Russian Bhagavad Gita and then you can learn English. Because I read the English and then you can read the Russian and then you'll... This is how we learned one Spanish boy, we learned him English like that. You know Bhakta, what's his name? Argentina. He knew English already from Argentina. Luciano. He learned a little bit better, much better English because he came to the class like that. Anyway, so I'm reading from this... I'm reading from the word for word. Can you just look here? I'm reading from here. So it's a little bit different. Please repeat. Sattva anurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayaha ayam purushaha Yaha Yat Shraddha Saha Eva Saha Satvanurupa Sarvasha Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddha Mayo Yang Purusho Yoyak Shraddha Sa Eva Sa Yo yak shraddha sa eva saha Sattvanurupa sarvasya Shraddha bhavati bharata Shraddha mayo yang purusho Yo yak shraddha sa eva saha Yo yak shraddha sa eva saha Sattvanurupa sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddha Mayo Yang Purusho Yo Yat Shraddha Sa Eva Sa Sattvanurupa Sarvasha Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddha Mayo Yang Purusho Yo yat shraddha sa eva saha Sattvanurupa sarvasya Shraddha bhavati bharata Shraddha mayo yang purusho Yo yat shraddha sa eva saha Sattvanurupa sarvasya Shraddha bhavati bharata Shraddha mayo yang purusho Yo yak shraddha sa eva saha Sattvanurupa sarvasya Shraddha bhavati bharata Shraddha mayo yang purusho Yo yak shraddha sa eva saha Sattvanurupa sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Sradama yoyam purusho yoyakshrada sa eva saha sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddhayam mana purusho yoyakshrada sa eva saha. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayoyam purusho yoyak shraddha sa eva saha sattva anurupa. According to the existence sarvasya of everyone, shraddha faith, Bhavati becomes Bharat, O son of Bharata, Shraddha, faith, Mayaha, full of, I am this, Purushaha, living entity, Yaha, who, Yat, having which, Shraddha, faith, Saha, thus, Eva, certainly, Saha, he. Translation. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. Purport. Everyone has a particular type of faith, regardless of what he is. But his faith is considered good, passionate, or ignorant according to the nature he has acquired. Thus, according to his particular type of faith, one associates with certain persons. Now, the real fact is that every living being, as is stated in the 15th chapter, is originally a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one is originally transcendental to all the modes of material nature. But when one forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes into contact with the material nature in conditional life, he generates his own position by association with the different varieties of material nature. The resultant artificial fate and existence are only material. Although one may be conducted by some impression or some conception of life, originally he is nirguna, or transcendental. Therefore, one has to become cleansed of the material contamination that he has acquired in order to regain his relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is the only path back without fear, Krishna consciousness. If one is situated in Krishna consciousness, then that path is guaranteed for his elevation to the perfectional stage. If one does not take to this path of self-realization, then he is surely to be conducted by the influence of the modes of nature. The word shraddha or faith is very significant in this verse. Shraddha or faith originally comes out of the mode of goodness. One's faith may be in a demigod or some created god or some mental concoction. One's strong faith is supposed to be productive of works of material goodness. But in material conditional life, no works are completely purified. They are mixed. They are not in pure goodness. Pure goodness is transcendental. In purified goodness, one can understand the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As long as one's faith is not completely in purified goodness, the faith is subject to contamination by any of the modes of material nature. The contaminated modes of material nature expand to the heart. Therefore, according to the position of the heart in contact with a particular mode of material nature, one's faith is established. It should be understood that if one's heart is in the mode of goodness, his faith is also in the mode of goodness. If his heart is in the mode of passion, his faith is also in the mode of passion. And if his heart is in the mode of darkness, illusion, his faith is also thus contaminated. Thus we find different types of faith in this world, and there are different types of religions due to different types of faith. The real principle of religious faith is situated in the mode of pure goodness, but because the heart is tainted, we find different types of religious principles. Thus, according to different types of faith, there are different kinds of worship. I will recite now the invocation. It's on page 1, the introduction. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kansha Nagorangi Radhe Vrinda Vinishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Ebacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Shri Vasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. I'll read the verse one more time. Sattvanurupa sarvasha shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayo yang purusho yo yak shraddha saevasa. O son of Bharat, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. So this chapter is called The Divisions of Faith. And yesterday I was a little bit browsing through the chapter. And these different modes, they will be explained. For instance, foods in the mode of goodness and in the mode of passion, like that. And austerity in goodness, all these kind of things. But here we're sort of, Krishna is preparing us for this chapter. Prabhupada says, everyone has a particular type of faith regardless of what he is. Yeah, so everyone has some faith. Like, I'm from Amsterdam, so many people, they are a fan of this football club, Ajax, so they have some faith that they will win. So it's like, it's actually very serious because it's like, there's no more religions. Holland is very atheistic. But the faith is still there. It just shifted to this kind of nonsense, actually. This is a football club. And everything is there also. Like, they worship the players, you know, they sing songs. You know, you have some devotees, or they're called fans. It's almost the same, you know. And they're like, you know, very dedicated. Even when the club goes down, they're still dedicated. Others are less interested, you know, like that. So everything is there. They have different players from the past, and they worship them, you know. So, so that is Kali Yuga. Things have degraded, but faith is still there. That's his mode of ignorance. It's Prabhupada mentions it in the purport, some concoction or some made-up god. So they worship the players like some godly person, like almost like God, you know. And if you insult them, then they get very aggressive. Also, they're very passionate. So everyone has a particular type of faith, regardless of what he is. But his faith is considered good, passionate, or ignorant according to the nature he has acquired. Yeah, so, you know, like people who are very ignorant, they generally listen to very dark music, like rock and roll music, or you have like this heavy metal, or even worse music than that. And people in the mode of goodness, they listen to classical music like that. And spiritual people, they chant Hare Krishna. That, or, you know, they chant Om, it's also spiritual. So like that. And that is called pure goodness. Thus, according to his particular type of faith, one associates with certain persons. Yeah, so that is also, we know that there's an English saying that that whom you associate, that is how you become. You know, a man is known by his company, you know. So, yeah, in Holland we also have a saying that that what you associate with, you get affected by it or infected. So, yeah, that is why this temple is so important. Prabhupada says, if you want to do business, you want to become rich, you go to the stock exchange. That is where everything is going on. So if you want to be serious about spiritual life, you have to come to the temple. Because here, everybody's very serious. Radha Gopinath is there. You know, everybody here gets up at 4 o'clock. So everybody goes also generally to bed early. So it's you think, oh, everybody goes to bed. Maybe I should also do that. You know, it's very natural. You have like fixed times for eating. You know, breakfast is at a fixed time. So spiritual life is very easy. So, and similar, you know, people who are in the mode of passion or ignorance, they will go to all kinds of parties with so many drugs, and they attract so many ghosts and so many diseases, and they get affected by that. Now the real fact, Prabhupada says, is that every living being, as is stated in the 15th chapter, is originally a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So anybody knows which verse that is? I don't know. Because I know it a little bit, but not very well. Do you know which verse that is from the 15th chapter? 7? Okay. Yes, very good. Mame vangso jiva loke. I remember that we did that, and I said, at least you should remember this part. Mame vangsho jiva loke. Angsha means part. Mama means mine. Mame vangshe jiva loke. Loke means planets or world, and jiva means the soul. Here translated as in the world of conditional life. The living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts. Mame vangsho jiva loke. So this is a very famous verse. Jiva Bhuta Sanata. So mame vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Jiva Bhuta means the conditioned living entity. Because Bhuta means comes into being, like becoming, that same word, Buddha becoming, and Jiva means soul. So Jiva Buddha, the Jiva who has come into this world, so that means he is conditioned. There are certain conditions. Like sometimes, especially in Holland, people say, I don't need to do anything. Like they use this word, must. I must, you must do this, you must. They say, I must, and there's nothing that I have to do. But you have to breathe. Right, pay taxes and die. You have to breathe, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to blink your eyes, you try to keep your eyes open for 1 minute, you know. So many things you have to do. You have to brush your teeth, you know. You have to wash. So there's so many things you must do. So that means conditions. There are conditions. You know, if you don't brush your teeth, you're going to get painful. It's a condition. Condition is that you must brush your teeth, otherwise you get pain. So, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, eternal. The living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts. So this is a very important verse. That is what Prabhupada refers to here in the purport. I'll read it one more time. Prabhupada says, the real fact is that every living being, as is stated in the 15th chapter, is originally a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one is originally transcendental to all the modes of material nature. So let me just quickly explain that. I already more or less explained it. But the idea is, Jivara Swarup Hoy, Krishna Nitya Das. Again, this word, Jiva, Swarup, the Swarup, the form. Sva, Rupa, Rupa means form, Sva means his own form. Jiva Swarup Hoy, Krishna Nitya Das. Nitya Das, eternal servant of who? Krishna. Eternal servant of Krishna. That's our original position. So basically we are transcendental. Or as Prabhupada speaks here, nirguna. Guna means quality, or basically material quality, because guna also means robe. Because we're speaking about the gunas, the modes. Like I was falling asleep here one day in front of Satchinanda Maharaj, and he said, Dear Prabhu, Maya Devi is embracing you. This is not good for a brahmachari. Because Maya Devi sees a woman, you see. So. Or Nidra, yeah, he said Nidra Devi. Nidra Devi is embracing you. It is not good for a brahmachari. So they're like, it's like a rope almost. It's sort of like you have this snake, and the snake, it this python, you know, and it strangles you. And as you breathe out, it tightens its grip. And at some stage, it's so tight, you can't breathe anymore, and then you die. And then it eats you. I mean, it can't eat big persons, but children it can eat. Or even deers, young deers, it can eat. So like that, these gunas are also a little bit like that. Like sometimes people fall asleep in a car. Or many devotees fall asleep in the class. It's a little bit embarrassing, you know. Still it happens. It's like these robes, they go around, especially me. I fall asleep many times, you know. Especially, although I developed a technique that I just look at the floor and nobody, I hope nobody sees it, but it's really bad, you know. So it's sort of like a robe goes around you. It's very subtle. And gradually you get, like this python, you get more into ignorance. So, but the spirit soul is transcendental. So he is above that. He is above the gunas, above the modes. In that sense, he is near guna. He is not affected by the three modes of material nature. Not that he doesn't have any qualities, because that sometimes the impersonalists, they misinterpret that. So I'll read it one more time. Because we are fragmental part and parcel of Krishna, in other words, we are in quality the same as Krishna. We are his parts and parcel. We are his children. I can explain a little bit philosophically. Is that Krishna, he expands himself into Vishnu Tattva. So that is like Sautama Maharaj explained it to me. Vishnu is like a judge. Like you have a judge, and at home he plays with his daughter, his children, and he maybe sits on his knee and his daughter climbs on his back and like that, right? So that is Krishna. But when the judge goes on his bike or in his car to the courtroom, he puts on a robe, and then if somebody comes in and he insults the judge, he can send him to jail immediately. So Krishna is a little bit like that. Vishnu, it's a little bit official. But the difference is that Vishnu, it's a different form. In one sense, it's a different person. At the same time, it's the same person. That is Krishna. It's explained in the Sri Upanishad. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam. Whatever Krishna is full in himself, and whatever comes out of him is also full. So he can, and it says, Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam. Purnasya Purnam Adaya. Whatever comes out of him is full, and He remains the same fullness. So when we drive a car, we need gas. But Krishna is not like that. He can create something and not diminish himself. So Vishnu, basically, it's Krishna, but he's just in a different mood. Like Lord Chaitanya, he is actually Radharani and Krishna combined. But, you know, it's actually Krishna. But because he's in the mood of Radharani, it's also Radharani, because it's absolute. Because the mood of Radharani is the same as Radharani. Which is actually the next point, is that you also have Shakti Tattva, which is expansions of Radharani. And they are also... You could compare it with like limbs. Like I can't really lose my arm. I mean, theoretically I could, but I can cut my nail, I can cut my hair, that's no problem. But I can't really cut off my arm. So Radharani and Vishnu, they're like expansions. They're like part of his body. It's not really, it's an example, so it's not completely, because Vishnu is the same person. And like with Radharani, she also has expansions. Like Maya Devi, because we're more or less speaking about Maya or the different gunas, which are also, you know, different demigods. Because they're like gunas. There's this picture, I don't know if it's in this Bhagavad Gita, and you can see these three goddesses, and they're holding these robes. So, and they're also expansions of Radharani. So, but these expansions and Radharani also, they're all like, not all of them, but generally they're transcendental, at least the big expansions. So, but they are like I said, it's almost the same. And it's explained that Krishna, it gets a little bit philosophically, but I just want to share this because it's a kind of a deep realization. Krishna, he is unlimited. So if somebody is unlimited, then there should also be limited. So that is us. We are limited. And we are independent. So, because Vishnu, it's basically Krishna. You see, it's the same person. Like you have Ramachandra, it's actually Krishna. It's a different mood, but it's actually Krishna. But the jivas, that's us, the parts and parcels who are limited, we are really different in one sense. Although, because that's what I'm a little bit explaining, in quality we are similar. But we have this tendency to fall down. So it is, we are there actually to increase Krishna's happiness. That's the idea. So he wants to enjoy unlimitedly. So in order to enjoy unlimitedly, he also wants to enjoy the limit persons. That's us. You see, so it's just unlimited happiness. Also the spiritual world is unlimited. We cannot conceive of that because we're limited. So in quality we are the same, part and parcel of Krishna, but in quantity we are very, very tiny. 1/10,000th of the part of hair. And Krishna, the Muslims say, Allahu Akbar, he's unlimitedly big. So, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we are in fact transcendental. And we are actually originally transcendental to these modes of material nature. But, and this is important, when one forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes into contact with material nature in conditional life, he generates his own position by association with the different varieties of material nature. So that's what we did. These bodies that we have are basically generated by association with the different varieties of material nature. It's explained that first you become Lord Brahma, and then as Lord Brahma, then you look at Lord Indra, and Lord Indra is enjoying very much, because he's got all these apsaras, beautiful women singing for him. And then Lord Brahma thinks, oh, that also looks very nice. And then gradually he falls down. And once you become Lord Indra, because Prabhupada actually explains that generally the souls, all the souls, they start with Lord Brahma. How it works exactly, I don't know, but that's what he's explaining. Again, the universes are basically unlimited. So we can't really understand this word, unlimited. Anyway, so then we become Lord Indra. And then once we're Indra, we can make so many mistakes. So then the chance of offending a devotee is very big. And then we become in the human form. And generally, you want to go for the full experience. So then you go down even more. And it's said you go down and down and down. And then from the insect or even lower, then gradually you go up again. And here we are in the middle planetary system, this Earth. So we have a choice. We can go down or we can go up. So it's very important that now finally, you know, it's a theory. I mean, I have not fully realized it, but at least theoretically you should try to understand this. Finally, we have gained this human form, so it's a big chance. We should not waste it. So it's a very big responsibility, not only for ourselves, but also for others, because others are in the same position. And we know, I'm from Amsterdam, people are really going down there. They're like, you have these heroin junkies, you know where they're going. It's not auspicious. They're going to lower planets or to animal forms. It's very sad, actually. But, you know, devotees are very merciful and they give them prasadam, like today we have this festival. And then they have a chance to at least maybe become like a human form, or, you know, at least like an animal near devotees or something like that. So the prasadam is very powerful. So by association with the different varieties of material nature, so we need to associate with the mode of goodness at least. We should be a little bit convinced about that. The mode of goodness is not really optional. It's not an option. This is important. You're translating, right? The mode of goodness is not an option. You must come to the mode of goodness. And, yeah. And then you can go to the mode of pure goodness. I mean, you can't, that is why we keep these principles. You can't expect to be drunk and follow spiritual life. Like in Amsterdam, sometimes drunk people come in. It's very tough. And then you have to kick them out because it's crazy. But they can't, you know, they can't understand it. So you have to stop drinking alcohol, you know. That's the beginning. You have to stop eating meat. That brings you to this mode of goodness. So the resultant artificial faith and existence are only material. That's the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharma pratyagya. You have to, like Bhagavatam, it starts with kataiva dharma prajita, I think. You have to give up this kataiva dharma, cheating religion. Or, as Prabhupada says, artificial faith. Because dharma is sometimes also translated as faith. That has to be given up. And it should be real dharma, faith in Krishna. Although one may be conducted by some impression or some conception of life, originally he is nirguna or transcendental. Yeah, so once we realize that therefore this chapter is also very important, also the previous chapter, because that is, all the chapters are important, but the 15th, let me see, now the 14th chapter, the three modes of material nature, because that's what we're discussing. It's very important to study that also, because once you understand how the material nature works, specifically the three modes, then you can become more and more transcendental to these three modes. It's very scientific. And then you can realize, actually, I'm nirguna. I have nothing to do with these impressions and conceptions of life. Therefore, one has to become cleansed of the material contamination that he has acquired in order to regain his relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we know we're all devotees here. To be cleansed of the material contamination is by chanting Hare Krishna. And then we regain, this is also very important, I explained it in the beginning. It's not that it's something new, the Krishna consciousness is already there. What's that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Nitya Prem? Right? That, Maybe, no, I don't know that verse. What does it mean? Yes, that's very nice. So the love for Krishna is already there, but it's covered. Like if you drink, you forget. It's explained in the second chapter. Once you forget, then everything is lost, you know. And because generally you drink because of anger, you know. Actually, you drink to forget. You can ask alcoholics, and they tell you, I drink to forget. This is like called the Catch-22. Catch-22 is from the American Army. And it was about flying pilots. So they had a catch-22. So the idea was that if pilots would come to the doctor and they would say, doctor, I'm crazy, you know, I can't fly anymore, I'm crazy. Then the doctor would say, no, you're not crazy. You are saying that you are crazy, Because if you would be, if you know, you are sane, because one out of the three airplanes that lift up crashes, it gets shut down. You die. So you know when you go into the airplane, you know you will die. Basically, it's 30%, 33% chance you will die. So anybody who is crazy, he will go into the plane. You understand? If you're crazy, you will go into the plane. And if you realize, I shouldn't do this, this is crazy, then you're actually normal. So if you go to the doctor and say, you're crazy, and the doctor said, no, you're not crazy, you don't want to fly, which means that you are actually a deserter. And in the time of war, deserter gets shot, they get killed. This is in war, it's the punishment. So this was the catch-22. So they had to fly. They were forced to fly. There was no way you could make some trick, you know. Well, I mean, if you were shot, your leg was shot off, then, of course, you couldn't fly anymore. But you couldn't say it was crazy. This is called catch-22. So similarly with this drinking, it's a catch-22. People drink to forget, and then they forget more, and they get more problems, and then they drink again. It's like a vicious circle. That is the only path back without fear. Krishna consciousness, yeah, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means without fear. This chanting, it's very, immediately when you chant, you lose fear. If one is situated in Krishna consciousness, then that path is guaranteed for his elevation to the perfectional stage. Yeah, that is also explained by Narada Muni. He says it's guaranteed, there's no loss, no diminution. If one does not take to this path of self-realization, then he is surely to be conducted by the influence of the modes of nature. Yeah, so this is a little bit extreme, but it, you know, basically, if you're not in Krishna consciousness, and I can go a step further, if you're not associating with devotees, then practically, automatically, as devotees say, you're a Maya. That's what Prabhupada says here. It's really not possible to go outside of the association of devotees, at least not for a long time, and remain Krishna conscious. You have to stay in the association of devotees. There's always exceptions, of course, but this is a general rule. And, you know, we were in the association of devotees in the spiritual world, and now look where we are. And it's due to the association of the different modes. So I think I'll stop there. I can go on with the other part of the purport, but otherwise it gets too long. So maybe there are some questions or comments. Otherwise I'll just go on. What is it? Krishna Bahari Mukha, that the spiritual, he turns away his face from Krishna. And I explained it. First he becomes Lord Brahma, and then Indra, like that. Immediately, as you become, because not every Brahma is fully realized. So immediately, if you're Lord Brahma, immediately then the modes are there. Mode of goodness is controlled by Vishnu, mode of passion is controlled by Brahma. And a mode of ignorance is controlled by Lord Shiva. So immediately you're influenced by these modes as soon as you enter the material universe. It's like when you go outside, when it's raining, you're going to get wet. And even if you have an umbrella, it's still, you need the umbrella. It's like... Okay, right. Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly, but I once asked this to Yadunandan Swami, and because one devotee said, yeah, the soul cannot get sick. And then Yadunandan Swami said, well, you can say that, but we are in Maya. It's a fact. We are in Maya. So it's due to our identification, misidentification with the body. Like we are now inside this body, the soul is in this body, but we identify with it, and we think we are this body. It's very difficult to not identify. Like I'm Dutch, it's a very strong conditioning, you know. Dutch people are always nagging, and they're always complaining, you know, because I identify with that nature. It's a condition also, and you have to change that condition. It's like an example is given by Krishna. It's like you have a rose bush, and then that scent, it's carried by the wind. So like in the beginning, when we join, not all of us, but at least some of us, they are like black, dark, and they smell like symbolically, sometimes also literally, especially, you know, people who come into Amsterdam. But then gradually by the chanting, then the smell, the consciousness changes. So you have a smell in a room, you can't get it out like that. You have to open the windows, you have to clean it, put incense. It takes a few hours, sometimes a few days, sometimes it's almost impossible to get it out. So that's us, you know. So therefore this surrender, it's theoretically it's possible to do it in 1 second. Therefore Prabhupada says you can become Krishna consciousness in a second, because you can surrender any moment, you can surrender. But generally it takes time. Well, like I said, that is what Jadanandan Swami said. I mean, you can do very, you know, you can do very, use all kinds of logic, but the bottom line is we are in Maya, we are identifying with the body. And another example I know Prabhupada gave is that like when you dream, you can say, oh, it's a dream. But, you know, like the body gets affected. It transpires sometimes when you get scared. So many things happen physiologically. So by the dream you get affected. So in that sense it's real. So similarly, you know, here you might get tortured and stuff, and it is real. Well, I mean, like Lord Jesus, he was not identifying with the body. So the pain is still there, but it's like he can detach himself from it. Harinath Thakur, it's probably the same, but it's said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the canes on his back. So it's very intimate, like a confident. We get some confidential information about that, how that worked. But in my understanding, that also from my own life, I can see that some desires they're still there. I mean, I could start smoking now, but the desire, it's very distant. You know, I've got other desires that are bigger. You know, so it's like that. It becomes more in the background. But the desires are still there. I never tell anybody to stop. Like my brother, he likes to drink alcohol. I don't tell him to stop drinking alcohol. I tell him to eat better and to go to the sport school or to sport like that. You have to replace it with something better. And that's our philosophy. You, like I said, we turned our face away from Krishna. Now we simply have to turn our face again to Radha Gopinath. It's that simple.
Radharani is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya has just the colors.
Yeah. But at the same time, I explained it, that the mood of Radharani is the same as Radharani, because it's absolute. So it's also, in one sense, not true. Because it's in fact Radharani. That's why his color is golden. You see that? The mood is there, and the mood is so big that his whole body changed. It's explained that melted together, actually. But Gadadhar is actually Radharani. Yeah, but it's a little bit intricate. It's not so easy to understand these things with the mind, you see. It will come later by. Oh, no. No, no, you can. Yeah. Prabhupada says, once bitten, twice shy. So if you come back to the spiritual world, if you're intelligent, then you remember the nightmare that was here. I mean, now we're kind of enjoying. But, you know, for instance, I've seen my father dying. He was suffering like anything. But we forget. And when I went to school, there was so much suffering, you know, every day. So, you know, we remember how much we suffered. And then we think, when we offend the devotee, because my understanding is generally is because of that, then we will immediately apologize and rectify ourselves. Yeah, yeah, the spiritual world. Can be even the slightest of offenses, but we will be twice shy, we'll be very careful. But, you know, you can if you make a big mistake again, you will. I don't know exactly, but that's what I remember. That's what Prabhupada explained. I know he said once bitten, twice shy. That he said, and I think he also said that it's like a nightmare. Like when you remember a nightmare, but you don't remember everything. You understand? I think it's like that. But also that is an example, so maybe it's a little bit different. Yeah, and also the thing is, if you are on a party, right, like either spiritual or material party, but if you're on a party, you don't think about anything, especially when you're dancing, right? You don't think. So it's a little bit like that also. Although you have the memory that, oh, I have my job and it's horrible. But, you know, when you're dancing, you don't. So in Krishna, in the spiritual world, you're all the time dancing, practically. And if you're not dancing, then you're thinking about how Krishna was dancing yesterday. You know, so. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. But in theory, it's possible. And practically also. But generally, like he says, it doesn't happen. I mean, the we're here now in the material world, and we think it's very big. But I think Prabhupada says it's like a few percent. There's Huh? No, that's different. I'm talking about the souls that actually left. It's a small percentage. And sometimes it says 1/4 because that is in the Shastra. Like the material world is like 1/4 of Krishna's energy. But anyway, the point is that we're just a small part of what is falling down. So generally the people don't fall down. Like with the prison house, there's just a few prisoners. You know, the most people there live outside the prison. And once you've been in the prison, not everybody, but you try to stay out of it. I think we should stop there. Thank you very much. So, who would like to chant? Well, you were chanting yesterday, no? Would like to chant a little bit more? Maybe after that, maybe Nita Gore wants to chant, or maybe you want to chant? Oh, I see. Well, you can decide.